My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Speaking of every teammate ever, is Aaron Rodgers the worst in history?
there's evidence to support that.
Is there a player in professional football who you would like have more desire to not be a teammate than Aaron Rodgers?
Can't think of one, to be honest with you.
He seems like the most miserable human being on the planet. He's throwing shade at Robert Saleh. He's arguing with wide receivers
daily,
on a regular basis.
Daily.
And he has shown himself over the last 2 years to be the biggest jackass in the National Football League. I absolutely believe this Jets experiment is going to fall flat on their face. I'm sorry. You're all right. Draymond Green, bad.
No, you said football player.
Oh, did I say football player? Yeah. I just thought I said teammate, but it's fine.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to play football.
Because I would have corrected you.
I wouldn't want to play football with Draymond Green either.
But yeah, this guy's a mess. He's an absolute mess. And like the wide receiver said, the audacity of him to try and come in and correct anything or get upset with somebody on some running the wrong route or anything like that when you decided not to show up when we could have been working on this before. Please stop. And that's what he does on a regular basis. We've been trying to tell you about this guy, not even just like as the man, like on the football field, been trying to tell you about this guy.
Do you think the Jets? Do you think the Jets are having like buyer's remorse?
Because the buyer's remorse they'd have is the number two pick. If it wasn't Aaron, then he'd be the quarterback. They'd still be trying to convince themselves of him.
I'd rather lose with Zach Wilson.
Robert Saleh better figure it out, though. It's his last chance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a sneaky subplot to this whole thing. And it's why, again, I don't remember where this article was, but it's why I think that the Bill Belichick thing looms over this season a little bit, because Bill Belichick is out there. If you feel like you're a championship team or a championship caliber team, the Jets may feel like that. They may buy into their own hype. Buffalo is another example. There's a handful of examples where, you know, a team could, I don't know if panic is the proper descriptor, but could make a move and like, all right, let's get out of this and let's see if we can get Bill in here. And
yeah. And like you said, a team that's that feels like there may be a coach away, leadership away from being able to be a Super Bowl contender for sure.
You talking about Bill Belichick and the Jets?
Yeah.
That'll never happen, though.
I mean, I don't think so.
Well, because he hates them, right?
Well,
I feel like he still holds on to that. Like, they did the whole him and Bill Parcells doc or whatever. He still didn't even walk into the Jets locker room for that.
Maybe.
Maybe he hates the Patriots more now. That'd be a way to stick it to him. Pause.
That was one of the all-time like press conferences with Bill and Kraft, where Bill's like, no, this is, you know, it's a chance to walk away and, you know, be good with the Patriots and, you know, we're ending this thing the way it should and blah, 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 blah. And thanks, Bill. And Bill leaves and Robert goes to the podium. Yeah, the last couple of years weren't good enough. It's just not Patriot football.
Robert Kraft was on one after they let Bill Belichick go.
Oh, yeah.
And then the documentary and all that.
Yep. Yeah, they did that whole hit piece on him. Yeah, I don't even remember where that aired. I didn't watch a single second of it. It was Amazon?
Pretty sure it was Amazon.
I didn't watch a second of that.
I didn't either. The Patriots franchise is just, I've talked about this before, it's just not interesting. I will be watching FX, though.
What's FX?
That's the Aaron Hernandez show.
Oh.
Are the Patriots, the Warriors?
The Warriors are more interesting than...
Like, the Warriors weren't anything, and then Steph came, and then... Like, are they going to stick around after?
Are the Warriors...
No. Yeah. No.
So, yeah, I think they're the Patriots, then.
No. No, their franchise doesn't have that cachet. Mm. Like, and not, like, there's only a handful that do.
Yeah.
Like, the Lakers, the Knicks, the Celtics, the 49ers, the Cowboys. Mm. They do. Apparently the Bears do. I didn't know that until horrible Bears teams kept getting
That's what
put
they
on
tell
television.
Us on Sunday Night Football when they make us watch Bears Packers.
There's a bunch of Bears fans in the world.
That's what I mean.
Bunch of them. I think that you so you asked will the Patriots last like that?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
It's 20 years, but you
they've
think
got,
they will?
They've got a pretty big fan base after everything that happened with Brady and the championships and stuff like that. I think they've moved into that upper echelon of, like I said, you talk about the Steelers, Niners, Cowboys.
So that you think there'll always be a story in a
you
way?
You think they're in that category?
I do.
Oh, I do not feel that way at all.
Yeah.
We'll see after this season, I think, because they're going to be pretty bad. And if they're just, because if those teams are bad, like they're still relevant.
Well, I'll say this though, and maybe I'm thinking of something a little different, but like you'll really find out if they get good again, right?
How so?
Because like you take the Niners for instance, the Niners were bad, and you wouldn't see them on the road and stuff like that, and a bunch of Niner fans and stuff like that, you wouldn't see it. But once they got good, they were taking up whole halves of the stadium, and that's because you've got people that were there, they just weren't any good. And I think that may be what you see with the Patriots. If they get good again, you may see...
I guess I didn't think the Patriots had fans like that.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's the Boston, Northeast, all that other stuff. They got it like that. They got it like that. But maybe they're on a tier of their own because I don't think they're the Niners fan base. I don't think they're Cowboys. I don't think they're the Bears. I don't even think they're the Packers. I don't even think they're Philly.
I wonder how much of those Patriots fans, like outside of their lower Brady fans, like they're gonna start filtering out. You know,
could be.
Yeah,
could
that's more how I looked at it. Could be like the case. They were more Brady fans than anything else.
Could be the case.
Either way, I wouldn't want to be a teammate of Aaron Rodgers.
That's facts.
You guys think he's having a bad season this year, huh?
It's not going to be as good as they say.
I think the Jets are having a bad season. Yeah, I'll say that. I asked the question. What was the question?
What's more likely? That he's an MVP candidate or he stinks.
Yeah, I'm going towards stinks.
I'm with you.
I just don't buy this dude, and I don't buy anyone. I don't. They tried to some writer. And I'm not saying that to be like dismissive. I can't remember who it was. Oh no, it wasn't a writer. It was Robert Saleh. He tried to like compare the edge that Aaron Rodgers has this season to like the things that he's seen from Peyton and Brady. It's like, no, dude, I'm not there. Robert Saleh's in the game. I'm not. I've never heard these types of remarks about Robert. I've never heard anyone say Tom Brady is the worst teammate. I've never heard anyone say that about Peyton Manning.
People have been saying this about Aaron Rodgers his whole career.
Yeah, and the people who were saying it weren't believed. back in Green Bay.
Right.
It's like, oh, that sounds like a you problem, buddy. Sure doesn't feel like that now.
Nah, he is not somebody that has a reputation of being this great leader, this great teammate. But once again, this is kind of how we started off the show. You know what I mean? When we first started the show. So Aaron Rodgers, he gonna fail in the playoffs. He gonna blame somebody else. And everybody will come to his defense and be like, oh, he doesn't have the defense. He never had the up. Man, please. They got the defense and they got the receivers and everything to go 13-3 every year. So when he fails in the playoffs, it's not the fault of that.
That's the thing, yeah. They didn't draft a receiver in the first round. They went 13-3.
Oh, they were one.
What more did you want?
They were like 1-2 seed. Well, it felt like they were 1-2 seed like every year. 12, 13 wins every year. Get to the playoffs, flame out. Well, his defense, he can't play defense. All right. He played quote unquote defense enough in the regular season, but when it got down to it, he couldn't get nothing done. This is him.
How much do you think it eats at him that he could never beat the Niners? Like in the playoffs.
I don't think he cares. That's like the other thing.
You think
like,
so?
No, I don't think that he cares.
He always had that little clip that he was gonna make them sorry that they didn't pick him, and I don't know. Maybe it's like me with Luka, even though Luka's like a great player. Like I'm past that. The Kings not taking Luka. I've been past the 49ers not taking Aaron Rodgers. Is he an all time great? Absolutely. Moved on. It's fine. But he wants it to be like, yeah, I want you guys to regret this forever. All right, bro. We're okay. The one thing that I can't say about him that just grinds my gears is he does have a Super Bowl.
Grinds your gears. Well, that's the funny thing. He only has one.
Yeah.
Like no quarterback in the class in which he's discussed only has one Super Bowl. He has gotten such a pass for his repeated postseason failures. Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling.
Facts.
I can't. Is there another quarterback in the history of the league that has gotten the amount of hell? Now that I think about it, even Roethlisberger has two, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. He got one.
One. He just,
they try to tell you he was just the best. I mean, pure mechanics. He was the. All right, man. Whatever you say.
I won't do that. He was a beast. Out there on the field.
I'm not questioning how good he was at the quarterback position. I'm saying they hold him to a different standard than they hold other players.
That's fair.
Who has more wins this season, the Jets or the Raiders?
The Raiders.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
I think the Raiders won 8 games last year.
AOC, baby. Or Gardner Minshew. I don't know.
That's your boy. Gardner Minshew.
If he's successful, salute. Good for him. I'll take it.
I'm going to go with the Raiders, man.
So we're all
they're
out low on the Jets.
Key pretty similar. Yeah, that's just the Jets get talked about like they're Super Bowl contenders and all that.
That's because they're boy. They really mark. Whatever, man.
Jets on the defensive end is the only thing that really gives me pause. Raiders got a good defense.
Raiders defense is
but
legit.
It's not as good as the Jets defense.
I will be rooting for the Jets' failure. Sorry, Bob.
Yeah, where do you want him to go when he gets fired?
Don't care.
Defensive coordinator somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, you hitched your wagon to the wrong guy. I will be rooting for their failure. And I will be rooting for the success of Jason Jones, who joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Our man Jason Jones of The Athletic, New York Times, set to join us here coming up in just a few minutes. USA advances to the semifinals after a victory today. And we're just following the Brandon Ayuk situation. Giving us a little spice here at the beginning of August in Christian McCaffrey's little slip up on the NFL Network, where he referred to Brandon Ayuk as a former teammate, tried to correct himself as quickly as he could. Damage was done. It's all over social media. So those are the things we're following as the Olympics, as we start to head into this gold medal game, Olympics start to wrap up. I think the gold zone has been a huge, huge win. For the Olympics, for NBC, the model of the Red Zone channel has been pretty awesome. Like, attempts to replicate it have been dope. We saw in the NBA media package coming up that a NBA Red Zone of sorts is to come about, much like Crunch Time that used to air on NBA TV, and this is something that will be able to air on ESPN. I don't exactly know what that looks like. It's not a nightly thing. On ESPN, it's on the night that ESPN has games, so I'm not really sure how they're going to work that. But it's a dope concept, but it's really just a further acknowledgement, especially with the Olympics going on right now, of what a game changer Red Zone was.
Mm. So while we're talking TV, you see Charles Barkley sticking around? What does that even mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
Did anything change?
No. Absolutely not.
I was reading the statement. I was like, okay, so there's no new deal here or anything like that.
No, he's got 7 years left. No, all it says was Charles isn't going anywhere. We signed him to a 10-year contract. He's 3 years in. Charles is just out here talking.
Mm. Well, yeah, because they put out statements like, yeah, we agreed to a new long-term commitment. So what, you guys just hung out? Like, all right, I love you. You love me too. Let's hang out.
Long-term commitment with TNT. And I'm like you. I'm reading the article like, wait a minute. He had 7 years left on his deal. Like, what did they do? Yeah, he still has 7 years left on his deal. The exact deal he signed 3 years ago is the deal that he's working on moving forward. The man signed a 10-year, like, $250 million contract.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what this whole...
Talking about I'm retiring, talking about I'll listen to other networks. Sir, no, I don't think you understand how contracts work.
I just wanted out to have reached a long-term commitment with ESPN 1320.
Goodness gracious, man.
Charles Barkley gonna be breaking down the college football playoff.
Hockey.
Didn't they get tennis or something too?
They got
something obscure.
They got tennis, and I think they still have the tournament.
They have the tournament. Well, yeah, CBS and all that. Yeah. They put him on CBS, but they still work together, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and Bryce points out maybe break down AEW. I don't know. Just coming up next on Dynamite, Charles Barkley.
On Dynamite.
They'll probably wrap Charles in barbed wire and throw him into some thumbtacks.
They'll do like a six-man tag inside the NBA crew versus Chris Jericho and whoever they got him with this time.
Oh, they're letting Charles Barkley on fire. My God. Here comes Ernie Johnson for the save.
What is it? The Young Bucks hit Charles Barkley with a shoe spike or whatever?
Oh, yeah. They'll hit him with a spiked Jordan super kick.
And then your boys will come in there and taunt them with their taunt.
What taunt's that?
I don't know. I said I don't know.
While that's all going on, Darby Allin's off to the side, jumping off some ladder onto a table for no reason.
Yeah. And then here comes 70-year-old Chris Jericho.
Wait, is that Billy Gunn?
Here comes Mr. Ass to save Ernie Johnson. This sounds like hate.
Oh, man. Well, it's confusion more than anything. We were like, well, Charles, what's going on?
I meant AEW.
Oh, well.
Well, we pretty much just covered it all with them.
That's all factual, too.
There weren't very many exaggerations in what we just said.
The only good thing they got going, well, I shouldn't say that, because I don't watch a whole lot. I like MJF. Sasha, what's her, Mercedes. I like Mercedes, and I like Ricky Starks. But I was going to say, that's the only thing they really got going on.
I need our,
come to the big leagues.
Yeah, I need our guy to hit the big leagues here.
Trade you Charles Barkley for Ricky Starks.
We don't have Charles Barkley. WWE doesn't have Charles Barkley.
He's negotiating.
Fine, take Damian Priest.
See,
fine.
I knew you were going to say that.
Fine, take him. Damian Priest in a second round pick. Fine.
Wow. We'll
pay Ricky Starks and we'll give him a contract extension.
Do you hate all guys named Damian or just Damian Priest? Wow.
You're cool.
Man, that is cold.
I got to stick with the bit.
I saw that coming a mile away.
Damian Priest. Barely knew you.
We are not trading Damian Priest to AEW.
All right, I'll say this. I don't feel about Damian Priest how I feel about Cesaro. Damian Priest is more of a joke. Cesaro is like the real part of that.
Jesse, remember when he was going to like really take off in AEW?
Yeah. Gosh, they do that a lot, bro. Oh, this little mid-card didn't work in WWE. We're going to put the belt on him over here. Meanwhile, he's doing this little ring around the rosy little ass move or whatever. They did that with the dude who was a 10, too, or whatever. That was his gimmick. He was like the perfect 10. Then he did nothing. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, that's all. That's fine. I think the former Dolph Ziggler is the TNA champion.
Oh,
TNA. Or Impact champion, or whatever that company is called.
Rusev didn't work.
That's crazy. That's still going on.
I feel like Rusev kind of worked. I thought Rusev was pretty good.
In AEW or WWE?
In WWE.
In WWE, is fine, but like.
And then they sent him. I don't know.
Well, once
who was the other dude? So I guess we got Big E's replacement.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. Saw that. Xavier Woods was looking.
Yeah, might
like,
break hey, up.
Who's the new Big E that showed up last night?
Oh, that's odd. Oh, excuse me, y'all. I went out for a little jog. That's
why. Well, I see that, man. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I was trying to it's a little warm in Vallejo today, but yeah,
that bro, it's 102 outside. Really hot. What are you doing?
It's not 102 in Vallejo.
It's 98.
It's like 80 something.
This fool out there on that Martin Lawrence, man. Guess it. You got some water?
Yeah, I didn't. I just chugged the whole. I got a lot going on today.
Jason's actually been home for 3 hours. He just can't. He just can't cool down from that run.
Hey, Jay. Do you know where the black guy who helped Kofi? You know where he came from?
He was on NXT.
Okay.
And then he got drafted to the main roster last year, and then they had the draft, and a bunch of people just never showed up. He's one of the guys that got drafted, and they just never did anything with.
Was that a Vince McMahon draft?
I have no idea. Yeah, it was just weird.
They forgot.
Like, Jack, a bunch of people got drafted, and they just never showed up on TV. It was like, hey, congratulations. Here's a dark match, maybe. Yeah, he's been there for a minute. Just, you know, he did a lot more in NXT. They had him in NXT. I think he was in one of those breakout tournaments.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, then he just kind of had him chilling. I mean, you know, They got to do something, you know. Hey, you know, the brothers was, you know, was just chilling all weekend during SummerSlam. So
Xavier Woods didn't look sold on the situation. He's like,
I hope they at least told him he was going to do that.
He walked out. I mean, he had a New Day shirt on. Like, what? Like, all right.
They couldn't even get him like a shirt that fit. They're like, here, just cut this down on the side. Throw this on.
It reminds me of when Mark Henry joined the Nation of Domination. It's like, we've got nothing else for you to do. Put him with the rest of the black guys.
Yeah, go ahead. You know, like I said, we can't put the Street Profits with the New Day because they're a team already. Lashley's gone. So, hey, you got to find, here you go.
How bad is it that when the New Day started like forming and they would tease, you know, with, Xavier, and they do the whole thing. It's the new Nation of Domination. No, man.
They were like be preachers. It was the weird. I was like, Kofi went from like a Rasta to like a pastor, and then like.
Yeah, that is a great. Yeah. That is a great Triple H clip. Hey, aren't you supposed to be Jamaican? Just out here speaking in clear English, yeah, no accent like, whatsoever.
And then they do the little Kofi story. That's like from like Ghana or something. Mm-hmm. It was like, hold up, Vince, remember that, like this 2 years ago, Vince turned Apollo Crews Nigerian, like,
yes, Apollo Crews, who's from Sacramento, California.
He just all of a sudden, okay, Apollo, we got a great idea, you're Nigerian. Like, hold up, you haven't spoken like that your whole time. All of a sudden, you know, you got your name from Dusty Rhodes, and all of a sudden, yeah, Vince used to do some wild stuff like that. Like, just, hey, you're black. Why don't you be a pimp?
Well, that happened.
Or a criminal.
Well, crime time. Crime time still the only act in history that had a disclaimer air before the TV show started. That is a one of one moment in the history of the WWE. Bra and panties, no problem. But this we're going to put a disclaimer on before the show.
They had a segment called Hot Lesbian Action.
Well, no disclaimer aired before that one either.
Yeah, it was just like, okay. Yeah.
You know what's crazy about that segment? That's where, didn't Eric introduce 3-minute warning?
Yeah.
And they just came out and like powerbombed those women, just like did a splash off the top rope, did a Samoan drop.
Just like, yeah, there was just so much random, just I don't understand what's going on, but we're going to keep, yeah, it's just, hey, just go beat up these women. It's like, what are we doing here? Like,
that's
I don't understand.
That's what it was. What'd you think of SummerSlam before we get to other sports stuff?
I thought it was a good show. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was so good that even though we all knew Dom was going to turn on Rhea, it still made me mad when it happened.
We read this tweet yesterday that said Dom is the first heel to ever turn heel. He turned heel and became more heel.
Yeah, that was good. I thought that I thought really all the you know, even though in some ways you kind of figured Braun would get the belt, you figured I didn't have them getting the belt on Nia, but, you know, the way they did everything, I thought, you know, and I kept on wondering, I'm like, Roman has to come out, right? I'm like, this is like, he has to come out, but I thought it would be Paul introducing him. I didn't think they would just drop the music.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think top to bottom, I thought it was a really good show. I mean, how they stretched 7 matches into, like, 3.5-4 hours is crazy.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, I'd rather see 1 or 2 less vignettes and whatever, maybe a couple more matches, but they stretched that, you know, it didn't even feel like the show was that long. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you're like, I've been watching it for 3 hours.
Wow. I'm sorry you guys lost me for a second. I just pulled up the 3-minute warning making their debut.
Yeah.
July 22nd, 2002. Yeah, I was gone.
Mm-hmm. That was Roman's brother.
I remember this. This is
Rosie Roman and Umaga, right?
Yeah.
That's not their name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is right. The guy who was Rosie. Umaga. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Umaga was like, Umaga was Jacob Fatu. Mm. Like, that's the comp. Mm. Like, because Umaga was, I mean, low key, Umaga was the one.
He lived up to it for a little bit.
Yeah. The only thing that kept him from it was his issues. Mm. Like, but he was the one, and like that, and like he, everything that Jacob is doing right now, it's like, man, that's that's Umaga. Like, he looks like Umaga. He moves like Umaga. Like, he has it. I think Jacob's next.
Yeah, I think Jacob is like all of them rolled up into one. Mm. Like, he's Umaga, but he has, like, you know, Jimmy and Jay's area. He's actually better off the ropes than them. I mean, he does. I'm like, I legit thought he was hurt on Saturday at first.
Yeah, I'm still convinced he was. I'm still convinced he's hurt. Like, that was the greatest sell of all time.
Because I'm thinking, oh my God, his leg must be broke.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's absolutely what I thought. The way his leg hit that side of the table,
yeah,
I thought that thing broke.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And yeah, the boot kept it in place.
Maybe so. He's like you guys said, he's got all the goods. He's got everything. A little piece of what makes everyone around him great, or anybody that came before him great. He's got the juice. I wonder what it's gonna be with, because I think him and Solo eventually are gonna, you know. Mm-hmm. 3-4 years now, like, mm-hmm. gonna clash. I wonder what they think about Solo, because Solo is a fantastic heel. He's a great heel so far. I wonder if they're gonna be able to keep him there, and maybe Jacob is the babyface. How you guys think that plays?
Well, like, how do you? So the thing with those guys being babyfaces, either one of them, is how do you get sympathy on them?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's easier for Jacob to get sympathy than Solo. Solo's just kind of mean, big and mean.
I think it would be easier to get Jacob because he has less of a story arc at this point. Mm. You know, he hasn't been the guy who just all of a sudden, I'm going to turn on Roman and say I'm the cheat. Yo, I think it's easy. You know, they could even do the whole, you know, Solo manipulated Jacob and got him there and used him. You know, like, yeah. I broke my leg for you. Yeah. But I mean, I just wonder how many more brothers and cousins are there?
Well, with The Rock in charge, he's going to find all of them and bring them in. Maybe The Rock will stumble across the Black family member one day.
They forget Naya's a part of the family.
That's, yeah, Naya.
Champion Naya.
Yeah. Well, there is a Black member of the family. My man's wife, Trinity. Naomi. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Marriage.
Well, that's more than The Rock and Roman.
Well, I'm looking for Rocky's cousins.
Rock and Roman are bound by blood or some stupid stuff.
Where are Rocky's cousins? Where's his nieces and nephews?
Did Rocky Johnson not have one member of his family wrestle?
I guess not. We gotta wait on Jimmy and Jay's kids.
Do a DNA test on Apollo Crews and try to work that into the story somehow. Like, yeah, that's Rocky's.
Go from Sacramento to Nigeria and then being part of the Samoan bloodline.
It's wrestling. You can make anything work.
They made Ken Anderson and Hornswoggle both Mythic Man's sons. So, I mean, what the hell?
Well, that's true. Man. This was a real conversation a couple of minutes ago. Who has more wins this NFL season, your Raiders or the Jets? And that was birthed in me rooting for the Jets to fail because I do not like quarterback.
I even though Aaron's weird, if he's healthy, he's still better than whatever the Raiders have at quarterback. Mm. I mean, they both have good defenses. I think probably the Jets is probably a little bit better, but I just think. And they don't offer. They don't have Patrick Mahomes in their division, so I would lean toward the Jets just because they have a better quarterback. Like I said, assuming he's healthy and not on ayahuasca and you know all that fun stuff that he does.
I said the Raiders, man. I think the Raiders have a comparable defense. And I think they might end up being better on the offensive end.
I got to see the quarterback play. I just don't, you know, I just got to see the quarterback. I don't get too wrapped up in how they're doing in practice, especially given you got two guys splitting reps, learning a new system. But, you know, I'm going to lean toward, I just think if Aaron's healthy, you know, they've got a, you know, they got a chance to be, I would think they'd be better, but it's not like a great separation. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers from 2011. You know, this is, you know, a guy coming off an Achilles who skipped mini camp to go get high. Do research. I'm sorry.
Was Aaron always like this? I mean, like, not like you grew up with him or anything, but I know you saw him at Cal. You heard stories. Like, was
imagine
he always
Jason Jones and Aaron Rodgers hanging out together?
Hanging out in Chico.
Was he always just this not likable person?
From what he got to Cal right after I left, but I know a lot of his teammates from Cal, and a lot of them, have told me the Aaron you see now is not the guy they knew. They said he is not the same guy. Like when I met him at Cal, real nice, likable guy. I mean, not to say that he couldn't have been put, you know, I didn't know him, like, you know, intimately or anything like that. It wasn't like we hung out, but I've had teammates, people who are from Cal, say he's not the same guy. That he's not, you know, that for the most part, he just stopped talking to his teammates from college. So clearly he talks to Marshawn. I know Marshawn has his back still. But a lot of the guys, I should say a lot, some of the ones I know have said, like, yeah, we don't know what happened to Aaron, but that's not the same guy we knew.
This is what we were asking for earlier, and we got it. Obviously, Jason, we've been following the stuff with Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers and what's going on with them.
Apparently. He's a terrible person now, apparently.
Well, he's not an adult, according to Mike Silver. Mike Reese reported today on SportsCenter that the Patriots are willing to make Ayuk one of the top five highest paid receivers in average per year. That's what we've been asking, is like, what do these other contracts look like? This is the first look into what that contract might look like. And I was able to find the top five average annual values. And if they, in fact, do that, get him in the top five, he's making between Tyreek Hill, who got to 30 with the, and Jalen Waddle at 28.2. So it either slots him right in at 30 or at 29. If it's five, and that's just number five. If it goes above that, he could easily get to number three by because Amon St. Brown is at 30 in like change, and he has a lot of phoniness in his contract. They could easily get him to three if they wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, just a matter of how much do you value Brandon Ayuk. I just find the whole thing fascinating that he showed up. And he's getting talked about worse than the guy than Trent, who's not even there. I mean, it's, you know, and what makes these situations so crazy is that you get to this point with a lot of posturing generally from the team. And the team does a lot of trying to steer the narrative about the player and the situation, you know, and for all these guys, like I said, who don't show up and all this stuff, he's there. He's talking to people, but he shouldn't be practicing without a new deal. You know, I'm with him 100% on that one. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm seeing headlines, the disgruntled Ayuk, and it's just amazing how just like in a few days, all of a sudden, the narrative around Brandon Ayuk is, I mean, I'm waiting for him to get called a cancer. I'm just waiting for that at this point. You know, he's being, and I'm like, hold up, didn't Debo demand a trade too?
So
wasn't he hugging Kyle at midfield like 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Now he's not an adult. I mean, you know, and I know, you know, Mike's my guy, you know, and sometimes when in those type of situations, you're simply just relaying what the team is saying. But it's either way, this was bound to happen, I think, just because I don't think that, you know, and even reading this stuff, like Shanahan's mad that he actually had the nerve to show up.
So one of the things I'll say to maybe stall out the Niners a little bit, and I don't know the answer. I don't know. Well, hey, look, we got these Cal guys are going crazy out here, man. I don't know what's going
Cal
on
guys.
Here.
Yeah. Brandon Ayuk with Arizona State.
No, I'm talking about your boy Silver. This is Cal going crazy out here.
I think
he's going rogue, to be honest with you.
Ooh, Silver's going rogue.
Mike Silver going rogue. Because here's the way I look at it. I do think the 49ers are getting information out there. but they already have their guy. Why would they have two guys and give completely different like views of what's going on? Their guy is Matt Maiocco. And Matt Maiocco hadn't really said anything other than what it is. Why would they go to
Could
Adam Silver?
Different.
Could be somebody different. Could be somebody different. It could be somebody different. And you said this during the handoff. It could be this guy is talking to Silver, and Silver's then just going out and saying these things. Mm-hmm. The guy's not telling him, hey, get this out here. He's talking to him maybe in confidence. And Silver's like, oh, this is what's going on. He's not saying who said it, or he's not saying the 49ers are saying this or whatever, but he's out here saying, yeah, it's not acting like an adult. Yeah.
I mean, and it's something like that. I've covered contract holdouts. Everybody has a person they want to go to, even within an organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I covered the Jamarcus Russell holdout, there were people talking to me that weren't talking to other people. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get these variations in what's being said. You know, like I'm looking on Twitter, a lot of the fans are on Silver because they're like, we know you're tight with the Shanahan. So they assume that everything he writes comes from Kyle. Mm. Whereas, like I said, I'm just speculating. I'm not saying this is true. Or maybe someone assumes that John Lynch talks to Matt Barrows or Maiocco.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And sometimes you'll just have multiple people talking. And sometimes, believe it or not, because I've seen it in the NBA as well, that's orchestrated.
Mm.
They'll say, hey, I'm going to talk to Bob. You know, a lot of times these guys know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because, I mean, even from the multiple reports, nothing. So it's not like you got one person. So, you know, you don't have the Athletic saying Ayuka's happy and he's, you know, and then someone else on the other end, say, you know, it's all kind of shades of gray. Mm-hmm. So which means that tells me as someone in the business is that you got people in there who basically feel like, this guy's gone. Was it McCaffrey who had the little Freudian slip?
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, the tenor seems to be that he's gone.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of now, if he's going to be gone, what's the story on the way out? Because, I mean, you're already reading stuff like the teams the Niners would trade him to, he doesn't want to go to. So you keep on portraying Brandon Ayuk, who, before this, I had never heard about him being difficult. You know, I could be wrong. I'm not saying I'm a Niner expert, but now it's like, well, we got some trade partners, but he doesn't want to go there. I'm like, you know what? That's his right. Trade him anyway. If you're bold enough to do it, trade him anyway.
Hmm. Niner expert or not? Sorry, you're.
No, I was just gonna ask Jason. Did you see the Pivot interview with him?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I had never known that Brandon Ayuk before either, because he don't really say too much anyway. That was the first time you really hear him talk, and. I still think he's a good guy. It's not an indictment on him personally, but it was like, oh, no, Brandon Ayuk wants to make all the money. That's what I came
with.
And you should. And that is fine. But what that also says, like I said, is you may find yourself in this situation. Like if you're saying, I want to make $32 million a year, and the 49ers like, we can't give you $32 million a year, then you'll find yourself in this situation. And you can go to New England and make $32 million.
Common sense told all of us before we even got to this point, there was no way they could pay Debo and Brandon and then pay Christian, and then knowing that eventually you're going to have to play your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all knew it would be, you know, we all knew it would come to this. You know, it would, that they you knew there it wasn't, they drafted a receiver in the first round. You knew that that kind of told you that, you know, how it got to this point to me is the wild part. Like, how do you not say, you know what, we can't pay you what you want to get paid? And then you go in, how do you not work? You know, maybe I'm just pro player. I put a lot of the onus on the Niners for this. Why is he? It should have never got to the point where Brandon's at training camp walking around, not practicing. Like, you know, it should have never got to this point, in my opinion.
Meaning they should have gotten the deal done, or they shouldn't have let
it
come to
camp? Yeah, they should have either gotten a deal done, or if it be, I think, especially when that run on receiver deals in the offseason, saying all these guys are getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, you then as the organization, you know, Brandon's sitting there going, okay, I see all this. You got to make a decision. Are we going to pay him or not? If we're not going to pay him, Let's find someone who will pay him. And then we work out a deal. And then we don't go through all this. And then you can focus on getting Trent in camp. But now you've got these multiple things going on. And I think history has shown, I know they had it with Bosa. They got the Bosa deal done. But I think Bosa was different than this. And I just think this is not how you want to go into a season as a team and have the chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, they also, I think they misread the situation. I believe they thought by the time training camp comes around, they'll work something out, you know, with Brandon. And they haven't budged, and Brandon Ayuk hasn't budged. And now here you are, you know, X amount of days into camp, and you're in a situation that you didn't think you'd be in. And who knows how that ends up at this point. It feels like it ends up with him not being a 49er. But
I think he's going to get traded eventually. I don't know. I think it'll happen. I think it kind of, like I said, because you can't pay him. I mean, that's a, you can't, if you pay him and you already paid Debo, and then you already paid McCaffrey, then you redo Trent's deal, that's a whole lot of money, Ty.
Well, it feels like you can't pay him. You can pay him, maybe not what he wants, though. Like, you can pay him the 26 or 27 that you're offering him per. But when you talk about 30, 31, 32, you can't do that and then keep all those other guys.
Yeah, I mean, so, I think that's kind of where they're, you know, budgeting. And I think Brandon and his people clearly see him, you know, higher up than the Niners see him. You know, I think he wants to be paid like a number one. And I don't think from the way this thing is being played out, the Niners don't think he's a number one. So, like I said, again, how do you get to August? And this is where we are.
How do you navigate, like you were talking about the reporter component of this and stuff that's getting out there and how you experience this with the Raiders and Jamarcus Russell? How do you navigate like what you report and what you don't? Like, how do you cipher through, okay, there's a reason they're telling me this. They want me to report. Like, how do you decide what you go with and what you don't?
You have to really do your due diligence in the sense that say the team tells you something, you still almost have to then go to the other side and say, almost sometimes say, hey, I know you don't want to talk about this, but here's what I just got told. Either I can put this out there from the team or you can say something back. And so then it's almost like a barter system. Sometimes you go back and forth between the both sides. And then it's up to you to kind of decipher through the BS, because both sides are lying to you. And that's the beauty of it. You know, you're being lied to by both sides. I mean, at one point when I was with the Raiders, I had someone tell me, Al Davis would never lie. He always tells the truth. And I'm sitting there going, okay, sure. But they wanted me to write only the Raiders side. So it was like, why would Al lie? But then I got people in the building telling me, no, the Raiders are wrong on this. Obviously, back then, in terms of rookie deals, the rules are completely different. But that's how you have to navigate. You really, I mean, kind of the lazy way to do it is just say, take the team side. And I think a lot of people in our business just take whatever the team says is truth. And the team will lie to your face or lie to you via text or phone call if it means getting their version out there. If it makes makes them look better, they're going to lie. And I don't blame them. I'd probably be lying in their position too. But it's up to you to kind of say, as somebody once told me many years ago, he told me, he works for a team, don't believe what we say, believe what you see. Because once we figure out you're right, whatever we say, we will tell you anything. And you've got people in the media who just regurgitate whatever they're told.
Yeah.
Don't even bother to check. Don't even bother to use any common sense. Oh, if the team said it, it must be true. Or you could go the other way and say, well, if a player said it, it must be true. But people tend to always assume that the person in authority would never lie, and the player is the one always lying. But I think we've seen across all sports, there are some, like, would you trust anything the Oakland A's ownership tells you? Like, there are some, like, front offices and leadership groups that I'm like, why would you believe anything they tell you?
The interesting thing about this situation is, I don't know. I don't believe anybody's lying. I just don't think they can come to an agreement. Like, I think they all
have their own version. You know, their own version of the truth. I don't think maybe sometimes I think everyone sees, you know, you see it through your prism. Mm. And then sometimes people outright do lie, because I've been lied to. So sometimes they outright do. I think in a negotiation like this, where it's gotten to the point where it's this tense, you know, it just kind of felt like this week it shifted to let's dump on Brandon.
Well, to be fair, only one person is dumping on Brandon.
Oh, okay.
That's your boy.
Hey, man. Go Bears.
Did you ever report something that someone lied to you about?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I have. I'm pretty sure. Actually, I remember. Yeah. I remember one specific thing where the player then came to me and was like, and I think in that case, the person didn't mean to be, they weren't lying per se. They were misinformed over what they were told that they told me.
Mm.
They thought they had it right. And they told, and you know, me being young and making a mistake, I think I tweeted it without checking with the other people first.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody came and grabbed me and was like, hey man, where that came from. Probably the worst one ever was when I think Tyreek Evans had a foot injury. And I asked him how his foot was doing. He said, it's fractured. I said, what are you talking about? He said, it's fractured. And he started showing me on his foot. Yeah, he said, it's fractured. So I tweeted that. Man, Pete Youngman looked at me and said, what is wrong with you? I'm like, what? He said it. Like, the Kings are all pulling. I'm like, why are y'all coming after me? I quoted him. I didn't make it up. And then this was back in the Darren May days. I was like, here, play this. And Darren goes, my God, he did tell you his foot was broke.
Was his foot not broke?
It wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Back was broken.
And I said,
spinal.
Tyreek, why did you tell me? He's like, man, I don't know why I said that.
Come on, man. Hey, come on, man.
I said, Reek, you got me out here looking stupid. Because I quoted him. The fans were livid. Tyreek has a bone fracture and they're letting him play? I mean, and I'm going, hey, y'all, I'm not a doctor. I'm just quoting what the man just told me.
That's crazy. Why'd you tell me that, Tyreek? I don't know.
And literally, he was like, man, I don't know why I said that.
Tyreek,
I learned a valuable lesson from that point on. Whenever there was an injury, I went and checked. Before I say anything, your player said this is wrong. I think the only other guy I almost happened to was Willie Cauley-Stein, where he claimed he had a broke backbone, like a broken it was something.
Vertebinal.
Like, yeah,
he was like, yeah, man. And this is when he was about to be a free agent. I'm like, Willie, are you sure? He's like, yeah, man, I had this. He started breaking down what was wrong with his back. And then I checked, and they were like, actually what happened was he sat too long on a flight, and then instead of letting him stretch, they threw him on the court. He kind of like tweaked his back. He'd never had like any like structural damage. And you know, so I had learned the hard way from the first situation, especially when it comes to stuff like that. You always got to check, because because what's crazy is no one will say, well, why did the player give you mess up? They'll say, you idiot, you trusted the player to tell you. I'm like, forgive me for thinking that a guy might know what's wrong with his body. Because Tyreek had just like left a foot specialist when he told me that. Then the Kings had to release a statement explaining what his injury was. I felt like I felt so dumb that night. I'm like, that's what I get for trusting the player.
Jason Jones talking to Rick James. What I look like? Put my feet all on Charles Murphy's house on his couch.
I'll put my feet all over his couch.
Yeah, I remember putting my.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, what saved me was that I had the recording.
Oh man,
that I had the recording. I remember Darren looked at me and goes, wow, he really did tell you his foot was broke. And I said, how are you playing? The whole conversation was recorded. I said, how and why are you playing? Man, I'm just going to play through it, man. It ain't that. I was like, and, you know, in retrospect, I probably should have just stopped and said, hold up, this doesn't make any sense. But, you know, yeah, I think it happens to all of us, you know. It happens to all of us at some point. You know, I can laugh at it now. But, yeah, at the moment, I was like, I was still really, I was still like less, like really new on the beat, too. So I'm like, this is not how I need to establish what I'm trying to do here by getting, you know, getting the injury completely wrong from the player.
Well, makes for a hell of a story, though.
Yeah. I would have never had that story if Tyreek would have been like, no, it's, you know, it's fine.
Dr. Jason Jones, that's good stuff, man. We appreciate you, my friend. Thank you as always.
All right, y'all.
Appreciate you, Jay.
Appreciate you.
That is tremendous. Absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Well, I guess we'll come back and do it again tomorrow. Will Brandon Ayuk be a San Francisco 49er?
Mm.
Find out.
I doubt it.
Tomorrow.
Well, he might be tomorrow, but.
No. We'll all find out together. We're headed over to 102.5. We appreciate you for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m., beginning with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes. Go over 500.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.